Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have with me my very special friend, Dr. Richard Presser.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to you all this evening. May you enjoy our interesting show. Hopefully it's interesting.
Well, 2 weeks ago we had a Mr. Bruno, and tonight if you get our emails, if you have signed up for our email list, you know that tonight it's Galileo. Now, there's a reason why I chose those two men, because there was a similarity between the two of them. And the similarity was this. Each of them were persecuted for what they said, what they stood for, what they believed in. And I see a similarity in today's world. Persecution isn't done the way it was done then, but nevertheless, people are persecuted in some way for saying things that people believe should be left unsaid. So it's very difficult to stand up and back up what you believe in today. And so it's why I have brought forth these two marvelous men. And telling you now, Mr. Galileo is a very interesting individual, and so maybe you have some questions that's fermenting in your mind right now, and you can call in later. We would love to hear from you. So, with that said, I'd like to take a step further and tell you that if you tune into your third eye, and you might not know what Mr. Galileo looks like, but you could say his name, and as Richard speaks, there's a good chance you might feel the energies that Richard is feeling. You know, the world is made of energies, and we are able to share them. And it is one of the things that you can do, and if you learn how to do this, the first time will amaze you. The second and third time, you learn an awful lot from it. So hopefully you follow along with this, and you join in on Mr. Galileo's energies. So, Richard, with all of that said, have you called in Mr. Galileo?
I have. And how I experience him is a very loving energy, very central energy. I wouldn't say super strong, but it's a strong energy, a clear energy. To me, it's almost focused kind of energy, conveys a commitment to truth is my kind of intuitive sense of it. This very strong, focused, not overly powerful. There is a gentleness about the energy and yet power. But I experience his energy quite centrally, really, maybe just very slightly left of center, and a beauty to the energy, actually. A very interesting experience energetically. As I say, a great sense of focus on truth is my sense.
That's beautiful. Now, I know that Mr. Galileo has a message for us, and Richard, would you be kind enough to take it for our audience and for us? I'd love to hear what he has to say.
Me too. My dear friends and listeners, it is my honor indeed to come forth in this manner. I have been aware of others who have been given this opportunity to come forth as part of this radio show and the work that these two beings do. And I feel very privileged to be asked to come forth and to say my few words to you from my perspective. And when I say my perspective includes the experience of the lifetime I lived on planet Earth, which was around the 1600s. And of course, it includes my experiences since I crossed over at the end of that lifetime up until this moment. So my perspective encompasses all of those things. And as Carolyn intimated earlier, I see a great connection between what is happening in your time and what was happening in my time. And that is the threats to the speaking of truth. As you may understand things, you live in a time, just as I did, where there is this very dense consciousness on planet Earth, and indeed a very dense consciousness for humanity that has existed for the last some 13,000 years since the fall in Atlantis. And really, the overriding parameter of that time has been one of, you might say, persecution. It has been a time where those of the dark have had a fairly free rein upon the planet. That is not to say that the light has not done its best in that time also, but it has been a time where the dark has had sway, you might say. And so they have come forth in many forms and expressions and have sought to keep the light hidden from humanity. And the nature of what was understood to be the appropriate thing to believe at the time, which was not necessarily the truth, of course, has varied with time. In my time, as you will perhaps understand, the acceptance that the sun was at the center of the solar system, as had been brought forth initially, at least in recent times, by Copernicus. Indeed, that understanding was not the accepted view of things by those in authority. And in essence, the authority in my time was the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church still has a great deal of power in the world, far more than most people recognize. But its power is much less now than it was in those days, and it goes about its work in a much different way. Though I would say that there are other forces that carry in many ways a great deal more power than the Catholic Church itself. And indeed, there is great power held by other religions also. And it's important to recognize that religion really is not about the truth for the most part. It claims to be, but it is not. It is about deception and distortion. To begin with, religion by definition seeks to insert itself between the individual and their relationship with their creator, or you might say their relationship with themselves. Some do this less than others, but the major religions, or most of the major religions, tend to do this in some form. And of course, this is a distortion of things, because no individual needs anyone or anything to insert itself or to act as a gateway between you and the truth of who and what you are and that connection to your creator. It is there for anyone if they are willing to go within and understand it. And so the church, of course, the Catholic Church in my time and my experience was very much inserted between the individual and their creator. And certainly their creator is quite different from the way so-called God is presented within the Catholic Church in that time and indeed today. And so I came to understand that there were truths that were not what the church was teaching, not only in the area of how the solar system worked, but indeed in a number of other areas. And I sought to proceed in a manner which allowed me to express my truth and yet not offend the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, I was unable to do that, as history has recorded, and I spent my last years under house arrest, although that did not restrict me as much as the Catholic Church intended. They said I should not have visitors, nor should I write, and I did both of those things. And so it was challenging, but certainly less challenging for me than the individual that you brought forth 2 weeks ago in Mr. Bruno, because he was much more outspoken. He was much more in the face of the Catholic Church, and they did not appreciate his approach or his directness, and he was not in any way accommodating when he was confronted by the Church, and the outcome for him you understand. And so he was much more forthright in speaking his truth than I was, much more confronting than I was. And in a sense, you see that difference in the way his life ended and my life ended. We truly were compatriots for a period of time. So I mentioned this, and I wanted to make the connection into your time, because truly the truth is perhaps even more brutally suppressed in your time than it was in my time. And it might seem brutal in my time because you have the benefit of hindsight to be able to look at what I was confronted with and how I was dealt with. But today, for the most part, you do not understand how much truth is hidden from you and how it is hidden. And indeed, for the most part, you don't see how those who seek to bring truth forth are dealt with. They are very often summarily executed without fanfare or, in many cases, the awareness of the public. Or they might be, in these days, executed by a drone. Or there are methods that those in power have to cause someone to die from what seems to be a heart attack, which is externally induced. And, of course, they have many mechanisms for bringing forth illness and disease in the physical body. So there are many ways that you might say those who seek to come forth and speak their truth are dealt with. And, of course, most of you listening to this will be aware of how oppressive most countries have become in regard to people who wish to bring forth the truth when it is in conflict with the government of the day. The United States is perhaps a powerful example of a country who was at one time quite open to those who wished to speak in opposition to the government of the day, whereas today such activity is deeply and powerfully suppressed in many ways. So there are powerful similarities between my time and your time. Indeed, I would, from where I stand, view your time as even more oppressive than my time. It is just not so immediately obvious to you. But if you look at some of the examples that come to mind, a very powerful one in your time was that event you know of as 9/11, where the truth has been very carefully buried, and those who might speak about the truth for the most part have been executed in one way or another, so that the truth cannot readily come forth. So it is an example of how this is, you might say, brutally held in place. No, people are not burnt at the stake anymore. But you might consider a drone execution as being not too dissimilar from burning someone at the stake. So I want you to understand just how deeply oppressed you are in your time. As I say, it is easy to be persuaded that you have all of this freedom, and in some ways, your ability to travel in the world and your ability to purchase many trinkets of life make life seem to be a lot more free than it was in my time. But in true ways. You are, as I say, in my view, even more oppressed, even more restricted from understanding the truth of what goes on in your world, or indeed the truth of who and what you are, than perhaps I was and other people were in my time. And so this is the heart of my message to you, that you need to truly understand the level of oppression in your world. It is, I would use the word horrendous, horrific. It is extraordinary. And there are far more powerful mechanisms of what I would call propaganda operating in your world than existed in mine. Of course, in ways, the church indulged in propaganda. You would consider it mostly dogma today. They demanded that you believe certain things, and they, you might say, drummed it into people and demanded that they believe those things. And some of those techniques certainly involved what you would call propaganda. But today, those techniques are powerfully and more used in a more sophisticated manner than was true in my time. But all is not as bad as my initial words might suggest, because perhaps all of you that would be listening to this program would understand that you live in a special time. A special time when this oppression will be freed and cleared. A time that was long planned, indeed planned before humanity fell into this dense consciousness. A time that was planned even before the fall in Atlantis, or indeed even before Atlantis existed. This transition was planned. And some consider that the transition out of this darkness will be a slow and gradual one, but I'm here to tell you that it will not be. The notion of what you call ascension is very real, and that is not a gradual process. It is almost an instant process for an individual, and indeed, when it occurs, it will occur for all of those who will participate in this process almost at the same time. So it will not be a gradual transition to what you might term a new golden age for humanity. It will be a very abrupt transition. So I wanted you to understand this, but also understand that this transition is indeed unfolding. Indeed, the preparatory work has been going on for quite some years, as some of you already know. And some of you understand that this time is powerfully pointed to by the process known as the precession of the equinoxes, this time when you are in alignment with galactic center, an alignment that occurs every 13,000 or so years. So it is this moment, you might say, that sees this transition unfold. Yes, the, you might say, central moment of that transition was at the December solstice of 2012. But not everything unfolded in that moment, as you have come to understand. And in the scheme of the broader perspective of time, a year or two is but a blink of an eye in the scheme of time itself. It seems so long for a human being living in that linear time experience, in that dense consciousness. Every moment seems almost endless in some circumstances. So I understand your frustrations of awaiting all of this to unfold. But my dear friends, it is important to understand that it was always anticipated that the dark would be almost at the point where they had complete control of what would happen upon that beautiful planet, only to have it snatched from them. And my friends, they believe they are on the verge of implementing all they wish to implement to reduce the human population dramatically, to clear humanity off most of the land and put them all in urban areas so that they can manage them and feed them with less than ideal food and so on. I do not wish to go further into this, but those of you who are interested in understanding this will already understand what I'm saying to you. But all of that will not get to unfold because these changes are emerging in your time. It is such a beautiful time to be upon that exquisite planet that I called home for a time and you call home now. And so these are the essential elements that I wanted to share with you from my perspective. And I wish to take this opportunity to send you all my love, because love was such an important part of my life. I did the work that I did in so many ways out of love for humanity, out of love for life. It was those things that drove my desire to understand how life worked on a more detailed basis. So I wish to share my love with you in this moment whilst I have this opportunity. And so it is.
Thank you so much. Your words to me are so exciting. And you mentioned a couple times about who and what we are. In your opinion, Mr. Galileo, who are we and what are we?
There are many threads to that question. On one level, you are a soul that has come forth to incarnate as a human being upon planet Earth. That soul, you might say, is sent forth from your monad, the totality of your soul as it was created in the beginning by all there is. And so that monad, that totality of your soul, sends forth just a few particles, a finger of consciousness, an aspect to incarnate as you, as Carolyn or Richard or whoever it is that is listening to these words. So you are a soul in that sense. And that soul comes forth from the monad and it continues to journey beyond the death experience, as you might call it. It journeys freely within creation until it finally returns to the monad before the monad returns to all there is at the end of a given cycle of Brahma. So you are that soul. In addition, you are a human being living on planet Earth. And you have been persuaded by many that you are the only species that exists in the cosmos, that take the form that you take, and you are derived evolutionarily from the ape. This is nonsense, my friends. There are many humanoid beings in the cosmos, and in many ways the human form is, you might say, a refinement of so much that has gone before. It is important to understand that, relatively speaking, planet Earth is a recent creation and the human being is a relatively recent creation. And so there is so much understanding and experience that has gone into the creation of the human form. It is important to understand that part of the mission, if you will, that was given to those who participated in the creation of planet Earth was to bring forth the best of all that they could bring in so many forms onto this beautiful planet. And that is why you see such richness in nature. So many different plants and animals and birds and insects and so on, all expressed on your beautiful planet, interacting in a carefully planned and orchestrated way. And so the human being is, again, a gathering of so much of experience and understanding to bring its form forth. And some of you understand that you carry an emotional body that is unique in creation. The array of emotions that a human being experiences is truly unique. And so you are a human being, a precious being, a unique being in creation, a pinnacle, you might say, in experimentation of the creation of the humanoid form. And it is important to recognize that currently you are operating in a very reduced expression of that human form. So much of the ability of the human form is currently shut down in this cycle, this dense, dark cycle that you are currently in, which is in the process of ending. As you go through this so-called ascension experience, so much of that ability that has been shut down for this time, in this trough, you might say, trough of experience, all of that ability will be reawakened. And I say to you, you cannot imagine the abilities that the human form is capable of when it is fully activated and functioning. So you are a human being. You are a soul. And you are a soul on a journey of experience. You choose the major events and relationships in your life before you ever come. And so you are living out a chosen path for the most part, although not all the details are so tightly defined, but the major events, the major relationships certainly are for everybody. So perhaps this, to an extent, answers your question.
Yes, it does, and thank you. I would like to invite our listeners to call and ask this exciting gentleman your own questions. And the call-in number is, for USA and Canada, 888-627-6008. When we start the show, an hour seems like such a long time. And then we get involved in such amazing information that Mr. Galileo has brought forth that it just quickly folds away so fast. And before we know it, this radio show will be over. So if you have a question that you wish to ask him, call the number now, 888-627-6008, if you're in the USA or Canada. And imagine this, being connected directly through Dr. Richard Presser with Mr. Galileo. Just imagine that. What exciting news. You talk about all of this dark energy dropping away and this advancement coming through. Is it something that you can ascertain from where you are as to what the time frame for this might be?
I am able to witness it. And in some ways, in some expressions of consciousness, it is already complete. However, that sounds bizarre to you in your dimension, because where you are, it is not complete. And I mention this completion because, in its own way, it is evidence to you of the fact that all of this will indeed unfold as I describe it and many others have described it to you. So it has a certainty about it. Now, as many of you understand, there are rules, you might say, that relate to that consciousness in terms of being able to, you might say, specify the exact time of when events will unfold. And part of this is because there are variables which can, you might say, delay or bring forward particular events. So, firstly, I'm not at liberty, and secondly, I'm not able to tell you exactly the moment when it will come forth in your experience and the experience of humanity. But I can tell you that if I look a little forward, even a couple of years, let's say, I can say to you that the unfolding of this change will be complete. So I can bound it for you in that way, and I would say to you that I expect it will be far sooner than that timeline that I have given you. And this is perhaps as far as I am able to go in terms of specifying for you how and when this will unfold.
Thank you so much. I'd like some thoughts from your perspective about what I might call organized religion or dogma. Do you see this as something lessening its hold upon people in the world?
Certainly it is fair to say that some of the religions have less of a hold over people than they had in the past. But for the most part, I would say that little has changed. It is fair to say that there are more public people following what I would call a spiritual path in the Western world than there was in the past. But you see, history has buried the extent to which that existed in my time and even earlier than my time. I know that the two of you are very aware of the role filled by the Knights Templar, for example, and in particular the creation of those Gothic cathedrals, and in particular those key seven cathedrals leading from Spain through to Roslyn Chapel in Scotland, which represented an ascension path built in that time. And there were many thousands of people who traveled that path, you might say in secret. And people would walk that path. There was, you might say, an underground knowledge about this that people could connect into, and they could be taught in each of these locations, obviously not by the Catholic Church, but in their time by the Knights Templar and by those that followed them who continued to sustain this knowledge. Similarly, there was the alchemical path, which some still believe was primarily about turning lead into gold, but really was about, you might say, unfolding or discovering the gold of what it means to be a human being. And indeed, there were some, as you know, particularly among the Knights Templar, that ascended as a result of working with this path. So it is a complex question, and history, as it is reported, does not convey the truth of the level of this underground spirituality, you might say, that was particularly strong in Europe despite the activities of the Catholic Church. There are threads of the Druids, for example, that have survived from the past up until this time. And there is another significant group that is living in Europe at this time, that is known in Europe but is not understood to be a deeply spiritual group, who will bring forth key information to contribute to this work when it is time to do so. They carry keys that most of the Western world have no idea that they might carry. So it is a complex picture. There have been threads of those pursuing a spiritual path despite the oppression of the religious dogma in Europe in particular. And of course, if one looks into India and the Himalayas in particular, you have those great yoga traditions which are essentially spiritual in nature. And India as a country is a country that is carried powerful spiritual traditions which really transcend Hinduism or Buddhism, or indeed in the case of the Pakistanis these days, Islam. So it is a complex picture and difficult to answer. It is fair to say that the European experience is less directly controlled by Catholic Church than it was, say, even 500 years ago.
Thank you. Sandra from Montana is on line one. Sandra, what is your question, dear? Sandra?
Hello?
Hello, Sandra. What's your question, dear?
Hello. Hi. My question is concerning the United States. We have a very corrupt Congress, and we have very wealthy people that back them, and it doesn't really fit into the golden age. And my question is, how will that dissolve?
Now, you're talking about the corruption. How will that dissolve? Is that your question?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we see corruption all around us, don't we? So how is that going to dissolve and fit into this next golden age on the horizon?
So many people look at the structures in your world today and seek to see those structures transform to align with what will unfold. And really, they will not transform. They are, by definition, expressions of the dark forces at work. And if you consider what I said about an ascension event, those who move on will leave this consciousness behind. The notion of an organization like the American Congress being present to define how people might interact in that higher dimension, you might say, simply is anathema. It does not have a place. So do not look for these institutions to transform. That is not how this will happen. Rather, see these as being part of the existing deeply controlled consciousness. And I would say to you that what you look at as being the Congress and those powerful forces funding it really are part of the shadow puppets for the public to argue over. It is not where the real power resides. And I encourage you to look more deeply at this. The work, for example, of David Icke will give you a much better handle on the powers that exist behind these political structures. The political structures are simply there for the public to argue over.
Interesting answer. Thank you so much. Insula from New York is on line two. Insula, your question, please. Hello, Insula.
Oh, I think, yes, hi. Ursula, yes, hi.
Ursula.
I have a question in the new, if you may, ascended Earth, how is the science or mathematics practiced, or if you can have a glimpse of how these are exercised or practiced, if you may?
Can you clarify your question a little further? Because I'm not sure why you're asking it. What is it you want to understand?
I've just vision, like I've had a meditation experience when I had the vision of the future Earth, and I've seen some scenery and the countryside, very lush, very green, and I've seen like, but I couldn't get quite a feel for how would just science and maybe things that are close to you are great scientist and mathematician. How would that differ maybe, or how would that look like in that kind of world?
Let's see what he has to say. There is so much what you call scientific knowledge and indeed mathematics, which is deeply suppressed in your world currently. There is a worldview that is held firmly in place, and part of this is to enslave humanity currently. I will give you an example, and that is this perception that humanity needs fossil fuels or nuclear fuels to provide energy or solar energy, whereas there are mechanisms which exist, and these were understood 100 years ago or more, by which energies could be gathered essentially from the background energy field, you might say. And so there has been distortion of the mathematics to hide some of this. This is but one example. There are many such examples, and there is so much science that is suppressed and distorted. And so my first answer to you is that there will be a freedom of knowledge that comes forth. The second element to this is that humanity will move on from this slavish model that the scientific process is the only basis upon which to get understanding. The true nature of wisdom comes forth from within. If you consider the nature of the scientific theory, you see this in a sense. It is an intuitive understanding that comes forth in relation to how things work. One of the discoverers of the DNA molecule, Mr. Crick, has gone on record as saying it was under the experience of LSD that he saw the structure of DNA shown to him. And so it was through that experience that he went searching to validate that structure. So there will be so many structures, if you will, that have been placed upon perception of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and how it comes forth that will be freed up in that experience. And this dogmatic structuring of science as some, you might say, sacred cow will be washed away, because this so-called scientific process is used as a ruse to hide so much deceit of humanity. So there will be understandings that will grow and expand for humanity, and indeed the need for it, if you will become less, because the ability of the individual to simply bring forth from the background energy field virtually anything that they desire in the, you might say, temporal domain will change the relationship that individuals have to the consciousness in which they exist, and in a sense the dependence they might have on science and mathematics to make things possible. I hope this helps you.
That's a wonderful answer.
Yes,
thank
beautiful.
You.
Thank you.
Now, since we're going to have so much change in the world, is there anything that we can do, or you might suggest that we can do, to prepare ourselves for this or these changes?
It is a question that perhaps everyone has. How can I best be prepared for what is to unfold? And my simplest answer to you is to heal yourself, to be ready to accept the truth of who and what you are, and to be at peace, and to deal with whatever comes forth in your experience moment by moment by moment as you live your life. Visualize as what you wish to see come forth in your life, and be at peace. Deal with what is there to deal with moment by moment by moment. And if you do this, you will be guided to be in a place and be doing the things you need to do to prepare. That is the best advice I can give you. It is not appropriate to give specific kind of advice because it varies by individual so much. Everybody walks their own individual path. It seems like everybody is living together in a sense, and in one sense they are, but every soul is walking its own path. And so every individual, if they follow those parameters that I have given you, then they will be where they need to be, have what they need to have in place, and all will unfold.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful. This question is a little bit different, and it has to do with love. So many times we think we are reacting to someone out of love, or we are treating them in love, and perhaps we are not. How would someone, if they wish to meditate upon their actions, gauge their actions according to love.
It is an interesting question that you ask. It is a complex question that you ask. And it is difficult to answer it in simple terms. In ways, it comes back to where I began in my last answer to you. And that is, to truly love another, you need to be willing to set them free. And in doing that, you need to love yourself. You need to heal yourself and hold within yourself your love for yourself and know that you are complete as an individual. And when you stand in that place, you can love another unconditionally. And if you feel the need to hold on to an individual or to demand that they behave in a particular way in relation to you, or that they owe you something, or there is a binding, if you will, of some sort that you have to them or they have to you, then that is not love, my friends. Love involves setting the other individual free. And if they, you might say, love you also, then they will choose to spend time with you and interact with you. So it is a beautiful thing when two individuals come together. But for most people today, they carry great wounding. And I'm not saying it was any different in my time, because it was not. But there is more understanding today in your world of the possibilities of which I speak. And that is to heal yourself and to love unconditionally those you choose to love and set them free. And if you are not setting them free, if you are not allowing them to be free to be themselves, if you feel that they should behave differently in some manner towards you, or they owe you, or any of these kinds of things, then that is not love, and you need to set yourself and them free. It is my simplest advice to you.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. And for those who are listening, we don't have much time left for this show. If you have a question to this most wonderful guest, this knowledgeable guest, call in now. USA and Canada, it's 888-627-6008. We are quickly winding to the end, and I must say, I'm going to be very, not disappointed, but I will be sorry to let this great wisdom master go. This has to do with your life when you were here on Earth, Mr. Galileo. For those of you, for those out there who are not familiar with your work, could you give us a little thumbnail sketch of what you did, what you discovered, and what turned you towards that particular science? What led you?
I began by studying medicine, and as I began that path, I became more interested in mathematics. And so I followed the mathematical path. And this led primarily, though not exclusively, into the area of astronomy. And I studied other areas also, as is evidenced in my writings. But my particular love was the cosmos and how it worked. And in hindsight, I've come to understand that many of my understandings about this came through my intuitive prompting, you might say. And in a sense, this happens to all who study a particular subject closely. It is not some linear process by which understandings come forth, but by hunches, by senses that things are true, and so you investigate them and look further. And so I became interested in how the planets worked and how the sun traveled in space, you might say, in the cosmos. And my interest led to working with telescopes, and so it was that I came to support the Copernican view of how the solar system worked. But even beyond that, there was sufficient power in the telescopes that were available to me to be able to begin to monitor the stars to an extent. And what I did not write about was that I came to understand that indeed there was evidence in the world thoroughly suppressed that the ancient peoples understood a lot about astronomy and astrology. Indeed, these two things were closely married together in the past. They were not separate sciences. So I came to understand what is known as the heliocentric view of the solar system, which is that the sun is at the center of the solar system. And it became unmistakably clear to me that this was so, which, of course, as you understand, was not how the church of the time held things to be. They held that the earth was at the center of things. And this was in part to hold in place this view that there was no other life that existed anywhere apart from on this planet as it was experienced, and this creator that had created life on Earth. So it really was, in a sense, following my intuitive guidance, my interest. And so many people, if they stop and look at the path that they choose in life, if they are doing something that invigorates them, excites them, then it is likely that they have followed some kind of intuitive prompt, you might say, to study in that particular area. And I am clear that I followed the threads of my life, you might say, the prompts that led me into these areas of mathematics and of astrology and astronomy to understand these things a little better.
Thank you. You have such great wisdom, and you seem to have the desire to share it with others. If, after this call tonight, there are people who wish to call you forth and work with you, would you be so inclined to work with them?
I would be willing to do this if you wanted me to undertake such work.
Well, there you go, my beautiful listeners. You have someone here who has great wisdom, who is sitting in a place that can view events as they come forward, and he is willing to work with you if you call upon him. What more could you want? So thank you for that. We have about, just a couple minutes left of the show. Don't even know if there's enough time to answer a question. But if there is one and you call in real quickly, we might be able to get through this before it's time to leave you. It doesn't seem like there's another question coming forth, Mr. Galileo. And right now I'm at the point where I think I have asked my questions. You have answered them most graciously and fully. And I will be connecting with you after this radio show myself to get further information. I love the information that you gave us with regards to ascension and the next coming golden age. I mean, it was just beautifully explained. And I want to thank you for that. I also want to thank Richard for taking these beautiful messages so clearly and concisely as he does. He has a lot of talent for this. And I want to thank him in a special way.
I'm just sitting here bathed in his energies. It's quite fascinating. I'm quite happy to sit here. you can chat away to people. I'm just sitting in the energies. It's just wonderful energies this man has.
You talked about his energies earlier. Do you care to elucidate a little bit more upon the energies that this man has?
I think the key thing that I spoke about at the beginning was the essence of love, that he was very much coming from love. And I was interested that he brought that forth at the end of his message. You know, that really has been my experience in working with him tonight, is this overwhelming sense of love. It's very interesting comparing his energies with that of Giordano Bruno from a couple of weeks ago, who was coming also from love and truth, but there was a power to him, an intensity to break through, you might say, to almost force knowledge into the consciousness of the time, which is quite different from Galileo, who is much more loving, much more gentle, you might say, in his energies. So a very, very interesting difference between these two individuals who, as I said earlier, were present on the planet at pretty much the same time. In fact, as I recall reading, I think Bruno applied for a professorship of mathematics, which he was not given, but in fact it was given to Galileo a year later. So they really were living and working in the same time frame quite closely.
There's so much to learn, my friends. And there are so many ways that we have to get to this knowledge. Richard and I work by going within and going to the other side and getting knowledge. And for those of you who are not quite sure about how to go about this yet, you have Galileo willing to work with you. You also have Richard, who teaches these lessons about going within. And Richard, might you give a little thumbnail sketch of how you do this and how people might be able to, ask your aid in working with you on this?
Well, we are very close on time. I will just mention it very quickly, Precious. We call it the Right Brain Magic work, and really I show people how to essentially go within and connect with other forms of consciousness, which really comes through the right side of the brain. And if you're interested in looking at that, we have a website called rightbrainmagic.com. And so,
coincidentally.
And so thank you, Carolyn. I think we probably should wrap it up here, yes. Or Don will be on our wheel.
Well, I don't mind Don being on my wheel. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually. And while we're talking about Don on my wheel, we'd like to thank those beautiful people at BBS for taking care of us and making this possible. Thanks, everyone. Galileo, Richard, and those at BBS. Until the next time, sign up for our email so you know what's on its way. Bye for now.